Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Let's get into the Word. So as you all know, we have been talking about excellence. And I hope y'all have been gleaning, producing, growing in your excellence. Tonight, I want to look at the Proverbs 31 woman. Okay? And we're not going to be able to cover everything about that woman because, I mean, she's just got a lot going on, a lot to glean from, a lot to learn from. And I'm actually, strangely enough, because the Lord really prompted me tonight. And I really felt like this is exactly what He wanted. This is exactly what He's saying. And so we're actually going to look at Proverbs 31, 29 is where we're starting. And it says this, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And I really, first of all, I want to break a mindset that you can't be like the Proverbs 31 woman. Because I have heard so many jokes and negativity about, you can't be like the Proverbs 31 woman or that woman or, you know, just negative about it. But here's the thing is if God put it in His Word, then He put it there for us. And it's something that we can glean from. And obviously it's something that He wants us to empower us to do and to be. And so I want to get rid of that. We can be like the Proverbs 31 woman and we can excel them all. But here's the thing. Here's what it says about her. Many daughters have done well. So this is someone saying this, but you excel them all. And I don't know about you, but I want somebody to talk that way about me. That when their speech, when my name is brought up, that is something that they would say of me. I hope that's the same for you. But what does it mean to excel them all? Excel means this, to ascend, be high, arise, exalt, grow over, increase, and lift self up. I hope that's some things that y'all, when I hear that, I'm like, yes, I want to excel. I want to ascend. I want to be high. I want to arise. I want to exalt. I want to grow over. I want to increase. Now, I don't want to lift myself up. But when you excel them all, if you're excelling, then that means there are people under you. And I'm going to give you just a little bit of information. When you start doing that, get ready because people are not always going to like it. And you will start to gain enemies. And even, okay, I'm just going to tell you all a little example of that. And not that I think that Spencer and I are just excelling or whatever, but this is just a small thing. We started a YouTube channel called Spencer and Maddie at Home. And we have people leaving us mean comments. I'm like, some guy commented something and had a cuss word in it or whatever. And Spencer commented back to him and said, thank you, laughing face to the person. And he says they're internet trolls. It's just people who, they just troll around YouTube or whatever to leave mean comments. But here's the thing, when you start excelling, you are rising above and people are not always going to like that. And you will gain enemies. You will gain people that are hate you, that are think negative and mean thoughts about you, that are insecure. And sometimes they're not mean to you other than the fact that they're insecure with you. And they are so mean and down in themselves that is how they deal with it, is by being mean to you or about you. And so don't let that get you down. As you begin to excel, think about Joseph, okay? Joseph had the dreams. Now, should he have shared his dreams with his brothers? You don't always have to tell everybody everything spiritual that you gain. That is called spiritual pride. And a lot of times I find people sharing things that they should be interceding over to people that they shouldn't be saying. And you know what? What will happen is you'll get out into this spiritual weirdness when really what you need to be doing is getting on your face and taking it before God. Not everything needs to be said to a person. And so just because you start having spiritual ideas and spiritual revelation and spiritual dreams doesn't mean everybody needs to know about it, just like Joseph with his brothers. That's just a small example, but I've seen a lot, and here, this is just a side note on women of intercession. women who have intercession, and I feel like a lot of women have that because their intuition, they have that understanding. Most of the time, God will show you things in the spirit to pray about, not to say about. And I find a lot of women, you can in church, in a service, just anywhere, they don't know how to handle it. And so I encourage you, if intercession is something that if you sense a lot of things, you see a lot of things, then you need to pray a lot of things, because that is God saying, we need to pray this through. We need to bring this before the throne. Anyway, that's not exactly what I wanted to talk about. The question is, do we want to excel? Now, I'm going to let you know before I get started, so you're not thrown off guard. I am going to be very straightforward tonight. Okay? It will be in the spirit of gentleness, but it will be straightforward. Because if you want to excel, I'm going to give you some keys that will require that. In order to excel, here are some things that we're going to be talking about. Submission. Shelly's already given me the grunt. I will be honest and say that a lot of what I speak on is going to have to do with submission, because it's something that has been birthed inside of me since I was 17 years old and I read Honor's Reward. You know, when I got saved and I turned 17, I started reading John Bevere books. And if you know him, he's very, very just authoritative and submission and honor and all those things. And so honor is something that I'm very, very passionate about. And I'm passionate about it because God is passionate about it. And we'll get more into that scripture. I'll give you some scriptural references for that. But do we want to excel? If we do, Proverbs 31 has given us keys. They are not out of reach because God has given us the grace and the power to walk in them. Here's one key. Who is praising the Proverbs 31 woman? Let's look at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So who's praising her? Who is praising this woman? Her children and her husband. But I've seen so many women in the church where they think they're so spiritual, but their husband and their children are less than them in their eyes. So many women, they think they are on this spiritual pedestal and their husbands are beneath them. Okay, that already is a red flag to me, because if you are so spiritual, then it should be the exact opposite. Okay? Because that's just how God set it up. It's not a chauvinistic thing. It's just the way that God set the family in order, with the man being the head. But here's the thing. If you are so spiritual, is your husband respected? It's a good thing to ask ourselves. Listen to me before I get into this, because it might get a little hot in here, okay? I'm going to be honest. It might get a little hot. This is not toward one person. This is from the Lord. This is the Word of God. And so if you think I'm talking to you, I'm not. Now, is God talking to you? Ask yourself that. I don't know. I mean, it's your conscience and the Holy Spirit. You do with it what you feel. Okay. Is he respected? Is he the leader in your home? Is he empowered in his manhood and authority? Does the way you treat him empower him to be more masculine? Does it empower him to be more of the man? Does it empower him to be more authoritative? Because I can tell you this right now, Spencer has empowered me to be a woman. He has empowered me in being feminine. He's empowered me in learning how to be more gracious and more girly and all these different things and investing in me. You know, go get this and do this and, oh, do you want that? And, oh, let me. He empowers me to be a female. And if I'm really going to be a Proverbs 31 woman, if I'm going to excel them all, because listen, let me tell you what, you want to excel right now, you go ahead and promote your husband. Because women right now are on the move. And it's a demonic movement. It's a feminist movement that says the women needs to be greater and excel, and we need to have a women's month. What? We need to have a women's history month? History is history. Women are all in history. But it's this act, and it's been going on for years. Watch the television shows. Men are treated like idiots. And I'm telling you, that is not scriptural. Men were made to be respected, and I'm not saying that they should take advantage. I'm not saying they should be like a dictator or rude or mean. No, that's not their leading. They're leading to such a way to cover you, to protect you, to empower you, to teach you, to help you to be the woman that God created you to be. That's the whole point, is this working together, but still his leadership is what makes you the woman that you were made to be. Spencer being the man of our home doesn't put me in some kind of cage. It releases me. It has invested in me. It has changed me to be someone that I never even knew that I could be because of the man that he is. And so we have to ask ourselves, do we promote him? Do we cause him to grow in his manhood, or does he feel like a peon? And I can listen, I'm gonna tell you a little secret. Do your children respect him? If they don't, then you don't. Because they do what they see. Actions speak louder than words. And I can tell you another little secret. You can ask your friends. Because people know who wears the pants in a relationship. It just doesn't take much. Like, I was at a service not that long ago, and I saw this couple, and I was like, bless his heart. She definitely is wearing the pants. Oh, not too bad, but it's there. She's definitely pulling the load there. Anyway, and it's nobody in this room. It was not here. But people know. And so ask yourself, do I respect him? Am I investing in him? Or am I so fear-based? That's why the scripture says submitting yourselves not in fear, not fearing him. It's talking about Sarah and Abraham, and he's saying, don't fear their lordship, meaning don't fear their authority. Don't do it out of fear. Do it because the Bible tells you to do it. Does that make sense? Excuse me. So in order for us to excel, we need to respect and honor our husbands and be more invested in our family than what anyone or anything else thinks or says about us, more than our status, more than social media, more than our friends, any of those things. I mean, those things, they're going to fade away anyway. So we need to be more invested in our children, because I see so many people, they will be so excelling in the church or so excelling in business, but their home. If your home is not prospering, what are all those things even amount to anyway? Because who you are at home is who you really are anyway. And so of all places, we should want our home to be flourishing, because that's what we're raising up. That's what our main investment should be in our husband and our children. And so I encourage you to don't look to Facebook. Don't look to Instagram. Don't look to your job. Don't look to your status. Don't look to what you have or what you don't have. Look to your children. Look to your husband, because that is what the Proverbs 31 woman has, is that they are the ones who are rising up and praising her. I'm raising my boys to be men. I'm telling them stuff like, God made you to be the head. God made you to be the authority. God made you to be the leader. You were made to conquer. You were made to rule. And I tell them stuff like, I'm so weird right now. This is how crazy it is in America. I'm so weird right now that I'm telling them things like, we respect the police in this house. Let me tell you something, son. If that girl don't want to change her last name and she wants you to change yours, she ain't the one for you, because God made you the man. God made you the one to be the leader. And I'm saying things like this. If no one respects the president, we do, because God told us to. I'm saying, hey, you see that policeman? We respect him. We thank him. The military, we love them. Thank God for them. We are able to live in a free country because of them. I'm teaching them things that right now in this country is not even normal anymore. And I'm saying, Zoe, you're a girl, you're a woman, you are made to be feminine, not a feminist. You are made to honor your husband, authority, you were made to submit, to help, you were made to be beautiful and girly, and you can conceive seed, and guess what? The devil can't make a man ever conceive, even if he wanted to. I love that fact, because I'm going to tell y'all something, y'all may not even know this, they're making models right now have male models look like they're pregnant. They're making them look like they're pregnant. They're making them look like they're on their period. This is how crazy it is. And I thank God. I go, you know what? Something that the enemy couldn't do is he can't make a man have a baby no matter what. And I rejoice in that fact because everything is so, we live in a crooked and perverse generation. And I'm like, thank you, God, that that is one thing that only a woman can do. And I'm telling my children things like that, like God, that God is our source. He created you. He's our confidence. He's our provider, all these different things. And so let's be difference makers. Let's be people who we're standing on the word of God, no matter how strange this nation is getting. Let's go to verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Let's look at that word, fears. That means reverent and also means afraid. A woman who is reverent to the Lord, she will be praised. Praised means this: to be clear, to shine, to make a show, to boast, to celebrate. So if we fear the Lord, we'll be celebrated. Here's the thing: if she's fearing God, she ain't people pleasing. And that is a hard thing for women. And I encourage you, if you have that, let the Lord strip it. Let Him take it. Because He didn't make you to please men. Galatians 1:10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Do I live for people's hand clap or for God? Do I live for my neighbor or my friend or a pat on the back? Or do I live for God's desire? Because the fear of the Lord is what led to the Proverbs 31 woman's praise." And only you can answer those questions. Who are you living for? Do you live for the fear of man? If you do, you'll never be satisfied. It will, listen, I've served that taskmaster before, and you will always come up empty. And you will do things out of fear of a person that is against God, thinking somehow still that you're pleasing God. But if you're fearing that person, then you're not pleasing God. You've got to live out of the fear of God. In the fear of the Lord, there are so many blessings and rewards. And you just, if that is you, take it before the Lord and say, "God, I don't want to be a people pleaser anymore. I don't want to live out of fear of people. I want to live totally out of fear of you. Only the fear of God. No fear of man." So we're talking about fearing God, right? Because the fear of the Lord is what will bring this praise. So what are some problems of women? Insecurity, comparison, rebellion. Now, see, this one you may not think, but not submitting to authority equals rebellion. So if you're not submitting to your husband or even to your spiritual leadership, then you are in rebellion. Gossip. You ever gone to a beauty salon? Complaining. Negativity. Worry. And fear. Those, I would say, are some of women's biggest problems. I encourage you, if those hit any of you, don't allow it to continue on. Take it before the Lord. It's your enemy. It's anything I named is a sin. Take it before God, repent, and begin to walk the other direction. Whatever it is, if any of those things struck you, let's lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us and run with patience the race that is set before us. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Here's what it means. Submit. To subordinate, to obey, be under obedience. I would say those are words that people don't like right now. To subordinate, to obey, be under obedience, put under, subdue to, submit self to. Submit yourself to God and he resist the devil and he will flee from you. I feel like a lot of people resist the devil but don't submit to God. Oh, I'm gonna resist this sin. But if you don't submit to God, you don't have the power to resist the sin. And so we first come into submission to God. God, I ask your forgiveness for whatever your sin is. Lord, please help me to turn from this. God, I ask you to empower me. I don't want to walk in that anymore. I want to completely abstain from that. Lord, empower me to resist that. Devil, I resist you in the name of Jesus, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And listen, I'm not saying with talking about resist the devil and he will flee from you. I'm not saying that every single thing is a demon. I've been a part of a church like that before where they thought a demon was under every single rock. And you're just like, everything is not a demon. Sometimes it is that you have to go, you know what? I need to take responsibility right now and go, God, I need your grace. I need your power. Help me to change this. Help me to do this. You know, sometimes it's your flesh. You have to die to your flesh. Okay, when we find ourselves in a spiritual battle, the most important thing is submission. Submit to God. That is the biggest thing. Why? Because he knows what's going on in the battle. And he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he said, you're not going to fight this battle. I am. And then another time he said, go out and praise me. And then he defeated all their enemies. So we submit to God first. And I, you know, talking about all this submission and obedience and honor and all that, I will not lie to you. This comes a lot more easier for me than some people. And I don't know why. It's just part of my personality. It's just something that God gave me. But on the other hand, there are things that I see other women walking in that come so easy for them. And I'm over here like, God, give me the grace. Help me. You know, everyone kind of has their thing. And so the thing is, though, no matter if which spectrum you're on, where you have this obedient personality and you're going to do it because that's just, you know, you just, if the door says go in that door, you go in that door and you do not go in the other door. You know, some people have that. The creatives are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. And that's okay because God made everyone different. And so if you're over here and you need more strength in that area, you may think I'm off my rocker right now. Like, I just, you... Okay, submit, honor. I don't know. Okay. All right, I'm going to give you an example. 1 Samuel says this, those that honor me, I will honor. Those who lightly esteem me, I will lightly esteem. You know what really woke me up when I was about 17 or 18 was that scripture right there. I thought, if I honor God, he'll honor me. But if I lightly esteem him, he'll lightly esteem me. But I didn't take it just from that scripture. I'm looking at the whole word of God going, if I don't honor him in this, then I will be lightly esteemed here. So when he says to honor our husband, he says to submit to authority, he says to submit to our husband, submit to our government, all these different things. I'm going, if I don't honor God in this, then God is going to lightly esteem me in this. If my speech is not full of grace and seasoned with salt, then I'm going to be over here, I'm going to be lightly esteemed. And so you can't just take one small portion. You've got to go, I want to honor God. I want to live a life of honor. I want to live a life of honor to my husband, to my family, because the Bible says to honor all men. That's what 1 Peter says. Honor all men. And so I take honor very seriously because if you don't honor, you will be lightly esteemed. It's almost like forgiveness. It's like, okay, this is a no-brainer. Like, this isn't hard to figure out. Forgive, you'll be forgiven. Okay. If you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Oh, man. Let me think about that. Some things are just like straightforward. If you don't honor, you will be lightly esteemed. So you're looking at me like, why are you being so passionate about this right now? Because I want you to be honored by God. And if we don't live a life of honor, we will be lightly esteemed. Meaning if we are not honoring to the things that God says to honor, then we won't be honored. We'll be lightly esteemed by God. And I don't want you to be stiff-armed by God. And one of the things that God honors and has put in place is spiritual authority. And if you don't honor spiritual authority, I hate to tell you, you won't be honored. And it's the same in your house. If you're not honoring your husband, you will be lightly esteemed. And not only that, where there's not unity, your prayers are going to be hindered. And so I'm saying this to hopefully empower you to go to another level in your honor, to go to another level in your submission, in your respect, because in doing so, you're going to go to another level. Okay. So meaning we honor what God established and what he put in place. For me, it's like this. When it comes to Spencer, honoring him as my husband and my lead pastor, it's not an option. It's not an option to not honor him. It's not an option to disrespect him. It's not an option to ever say anything negative about him to any one person in this room. It's not an option because that's not how God set it up. To me, couldn't even get it to come out my mouth because one, it's just not anybody's business about your spouse. But two, I have that much honor and respect for him, not because he forces it, because if you've ever met him, he is not like that. But because God has said it, and I fear God more than anything else. And so I respect and honor him, not because he says, Madison, I demand you to respect and honor me in front of everyone, or you're going to whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's never even came close to talking to me like that. But here's the other thing. When we served under Pastor Greg, and to a certain extent, he is on our board of directors, it was never an option to me to ever say one negative, dishonoring, disrespectful thing about Pastor Greg, not even to another family member. It's not an option. And it's not because I thought he was always right. I thought he was God. I thought that he would spank me. I thought he would fire me. It wasn't any of those reasons. It was simply because I feared God. It's a mentality. It's an honor mentality of, you know what? It's not even about them. It's about you and God. It's not even about the other person. It is literally about them. Honoring is not an option to me to not do it. It's just who I am. It's just what God says. It's just that simple. If you look at it that way, it will help you. Hopefully it will empower you to do that, to be more honoring. And if, again, you still think I'm off my rocker, let's look at 1 Samuel 16. Hope this is making sense to you tonight. Hope it's empowering you. I hope it's inspiring you. I hope it's shifting you. I hope there's some conviction. Because if there's conviction, then there's a sign of the Holy Spirit moving and operating in your being. 1 Samuel 16. David is anointed king because Saul disobeyed God. Notice I didn't say that Saul partially obeyed God, because there is not partial obedience. You either obey or you disobey. And this story itself proves my point, because God says to Saul, utterly destroy the Amalekites. Every single person, children included, animals included, everything needs to be utterly destroyed. What does Saul do? He keeps the king alive. He keeps the best of the oxen and the sheep and the animals alive. And he says, I kept it for a sacrifice. How many times have you heard somebody trying to be real spiritual about something? And I'm like, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. That's spiritual justification. And it really doesn't even make any sense. But anyway, so David is anointed king because God sought for himself a man after his own heart. And so Samuel goes and he anoints David. So the Spirit of the Lord comes on David. I believe it is in 1 Samuel 16. Oh, Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? And then he goes and he anoints David. And the Spirit of the Lord came on David from that day forward. So then a distressing spirit comes on Saul, and then there's the battle, and David defeats Goliath. And then Saul sees David coming back with Goliath's head, and he wants him to come into his palace and stay there the rest of the time. So David moves into the palace, and I'm not going to read everything. Literally, this is so good. This is one of my favorite. 1 Samuel is probably my favorite book. So David moves in 1 Samuel 18:5. David went out wherever Saul sent him, and behaved wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now it happened as they were coming home when David was returning from the slaughter of the Philistine that the women had came out of the cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. So the women sang as they danced and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very angry, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s. To me, they have only ascribed 1,000. Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? So Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it happened on the next day that the distressing spirit from God came on Saul, and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as at other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand, and Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. I'm not going to keep reading, but you see the point. Saul is overwhelmed with jealousy and a distressing spirit. He's trying to kill David because he's so jealous. He keeps doing this time and time again. And then he's supposed to marry Michal, but then he gives him Merab, and just all that stuff happens. And then Saul it just continually persecutes David. Let me go to 1 Samuel 19:11. So now David has married Michal, and they're at home, and he's still trying to kill him. So Saul sent messengers to David's house. This is 19:11. To watch him and kill him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be killed. So David let him down through the window, and he escapes. Okay, so as you can tell, it's just like, okay, what has David done? Nothing. He has not done anything to Saul but good. He's behaved wisely. He has served him. He's defeated his enemies. Even after he's given the wrong woman, he's supposed to get the one woman, then he gets that woman. And then he keeps trying to kill him, and David never retaliates. Okay? I'm only getting started. I'm talking about honor. Remember, we've got David and we've got Saul. So we've got this man and we've got a leader. David never retaliates. He never does anything. And then we keep going. We're about to skip to chapter 24, but this whole time Saul is literally persecuting and chasing after David. We get to 1 Samuel 24. I'm going to read 7 verses. It happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000. Okay? Remember, he's going after David. He's going after one guy. He takes 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, okay, this is his friends, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand that you may do to him as it seems good to you. Okay, so they're saying, take vengeance, right? Retaliate. This is your moment. David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Wow. Okay. That's a conscience right there. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. I'm going to keep reading. David also arose afterward, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed, David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today in my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eye spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. No, and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand, and I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand will not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand will not be against you. And after whom has the king of Israel come out? Who do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore let the Lord judge and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case and deliver me out of your hand. And Saul's real confused right here. He says, when David finished speaking, is that your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, you are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And I won't continue going. But as you can see, David has been being persecuted by Saul. And what is David's response? He literally says, my Lord, my King. And he stoops to the ground. And when people are saying, take vengeance, he says, but the Lord said, don't stretch forth your hand against the Lord and his anointed. So who gets determined who is anointed? Only God knows. There's a great book. I can't remember it right off the top of my head right now, but it's all talking about submission and honor and all these different things. And it talks just about that. Who is the determining factor? We think we can go around and say they are God's anointed. They're not God's anointed. But who's the one who gives the anointing? So how can we say, they're not anointed, therefore I can do this or I can say this about them? I've heard so many people bash big name pastors. So many. They think just because they don't line up with what they believe and what they think, that they can say anything they want about them. You are in grave danger. Because look at Saul. David would not put forth his hand against who he said was the Lord's anointed, who was seeking to kill him, who was going crazy, who had a distressing spirit. And we think, and I'm not talking, when I say we, I'm not talking here, but people in the church and these spiritual high Christians think they can say they're not, they don't do this, they don't do that. Are you in the place of God? David would not put forth his hand against a person who literally was trying to murder him and who obviously was being distressed by a demonic spirit. I think that would be a good category to go, I'm not sure he has the spirit of the Lord anymore. But it does not give us grounds to dishonor or to stretch forth our hand against the Lord's anointed. I hope this is making sense. Honor goes very deep. And I'm trying to take your honor and your respect and your submission to a new level. Because right now, the American culture is trying to infiltrate the church. It's trying to infiltrate the church with gender confusion, with women's movements, with men not being the head, with not respecting spiritual authority. Because you're hearing left and right, this minister fell, all these different things. But let me tell you, what the world does, whatever happens, it doesn't change what God established. And so we have to, as women of God, grab this and go, okay, this is what you said. This is what I'm going to walk in, no matter what culture says. And you need to be so strong in your spirit and in the spirit of your mind, because the culture in this nation is trying to take over Christianity and get it in the church. And we have to be so grounded in this that we know, no, that's not true. No, that's not biblical. No, this is the word of God. I mean, you've got progressive Christianity saying, the word of God isn't the word of God. Submission isn't about the other person. It's about God and you. And if you can't submit, you aren't worthy of praise. But if you do, and if you do fear the Lord, then you are worthy of praise. Because that's where this whole thing started, is she excels them all. A woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. If you fear the Lord, if you're submitted to your husband, to authority. You know, I've had women come to me. I want you to disciple me. I want you to mentor me. And I'm all about discipleship. We led a discipleship program for like 3 years. And so this is what I say to them. Can you handle it? Because disciple is from the word discipline. Can you take it? Can you take correction? If you hate correction, you're stupid. That's what Proverbs says. I don't start them off with that scripture. That was one of our J38 scriptures. If you hate correction, you are stupid. Okay, Lord, help me. But no, seriously, I ask them because when it comes to submission, I want to know right off the bat, if I'm about to get into this thing with someone, can you handle this? Can you handle, because whenever I watch you, I'm already going to have something to say to you. So is that something that that you think you'll be able to submit and that you'll be able to receive? Can you take it? Do you actually want it? Because a lot of discipleship is correction and it's being taught. And in order to learn, you have to be humble. It doesn't matter if there's a huge women's movement going on in the world. God's word hasn't changed. And I know that this message is very straightforward. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you to be praised. So y'all can smile at me. I'm trying to empower you. I hope it's coming across that way. I don't want you to feel bad or condemned. This is not a condemning message. I want to empower you to be a woman who is praised. And in order to do that, God has given us those keys. And we're not going to allow the culture of the world to take over the church. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to allow it to take over my home or my children. You know, we need to be women who are seeking God, who we are taking all of our problems, all of our cares to the throne, not to Facebook. I see so many women, and I don't think it's anyone in here, because I've started getting off Facebook. I'm like, can't see it anymore. I'm just like, okay, I'll get on there every now and then and like a few things, but women just pouring it out, and I'm like, honey, you need your hubby. You need your mom. You need to go to God. And then if that didn't help, and you know, some women need that extra, you know, we use so many, what did Pastor Greg say? 50,000 words a day, you know, but Facebook isn't going to solve your problems. It's not going to solve your cares. A lot of times it'll make you have more. You're like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. Or, oh my goodness, that's frustrating. You know, or, oh, that's so depressing. I'm like, Facebook is emotion book and politic book, and it's not fun anymore. Anyway, but don't take your problems to Facebook. Don't take them to your friends. Don't take them to your cousins. Take them to the Lord. We need to be women who we are strong on our knees, women of strength who are pursuing after the face of God, because if we will pursue Him and cast our cares on Him, we won't have need to go to those other outlets, and we won't need other people's approval. We won't need their confirmation. We won't need, oh, you're doing a great job, or, oh, you did this. We don't need that, because we are so defined by God that Jesus said this, He did not submit Himself to men because He knew what was in men. Don't submit and subject your soul to that extreme to a person, only to God, because God is the only one who knows who He created you to be and what He created you to do. God has destined us to be virtuous women who excel them all, whose families praise us, who isn't caught up in vanity, because it says charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but in fearing God. Let us close with Proverbs 31:31. I hope this is making some sense tonight. Proverbs 31:31. Okay. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The gate right there actually means city gate or door. And fruit actually means reward. So give her the reward of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Here's what works is, and this is a lot, so you don't have to write them all down. Action, transaction, activity, product, poem, property, act, art, bake, meat, business, deed, labor, thing made, ware of making, occupation, thing offered, operation, possession, handy, needle, networking, manship, and wrought. And what does that say to me? I mean, it says, let her own works praise her in the gates. Let all those things praise her in the gate. What is that? It speaks of every woman. Every woman, because it talks about art, it talks about making food, it talks about an occupation, it talks about needles, like doing needles, it talks about poems and activities and products and properties and laboring. It's every single woman, and it's saying, it's not a cookie cutter. God didn't make us cookie cutter. He made us all vast and all different. Some women are really creative. Some women are really love organizing and decorating. And some women love cooking and baking. And some women love business and money and, or you know, financial things and being in the business realm and all of those things. And he's saying, whatever it is that you do, give her the reward of those things and let those things praise her in the gate, because she is excelling in whatever she is putting her hand to. If she's putting it to baking, she's excelling in it. Like Jennifer's cake. Everybody ate her cake today at Clint's work. She took a wedding cake there and they all ate it and wanted to know who made it. That's excelling. But you know, some people might be like, well, so? But she's excelling in her baking, or Rochelle in her decorating, or Pastor Bonnie in her gardening. Whatever it is that you're doing, you can excel in, and people go, wow, you have the best baked cake. Wow, you have the best decorations, or wow, you run the best insurance policies, or whatever. You know, you have the best homeopathic, you know, medicine and ideas and creativity. Whatever it is that you do, it's not confined to the church. God is saying, I want my women to excel so that you are standing up. You're standing out when people encounter you in your business, when they encounter you on your job, when they eat your eggs, they're like, something is different about this. This excels. God is into the details. And so whatever you find yourself that God has put you into, occupation, family, whatever it may be, a hobby, you can excel in that to the point where people that aren't saved go, this is different. This is better than everyone else's. Like whatever it is that you do, it's so good. I don't know what it is. It's the presence of God. If you feel like you don't have a gift and you're a really good cleaner, that is a gift. Some people are not good cleaners and have to really strive to clean well. And so if you have that gifting and you're good at cleaning, God has caused you to excel in that area. So excel in your cleaning. Don't let people look down on you because that's what you do is, oh, all you did was clean house all day. Yes. Have you birthed children? Do you have grandchildren? Excel, excel, excel. It's not about any specific thing. It's whatever you do, whoever you are, excel in it and let that excellence excel out of you in everything you do and everything you put your hand to. Why? So that you can be praised? No, not really. So that God can be glorified. To God be the glory. What great things he hath done. That's Grandma DeVries' saying and song she likes to sing a lot. But whatever you do, it's for God. And if we will, whatever we're doing, do it for that motive, we won't be disgruntled. We won't be frustrated. We won't be discontent. The other day I was going, God, thank you that I get to clean and I get to bring cleaning supplies to the church today, and I get to be the one to set them out, and I get to be the one to fix this tissue box, and I get to be the one that just pick this up. And I'm not saying that to brag on myself. I'm just giving you a small example. God, thank you that we get to go to church right now. God, thank you that we have a building to meet in. All these different things, it's all about your perspective. And you can excel. If you excel in the little things, you will excel in much. But if you're disgruntled in the small things, you'll be disgruntled in much. If you're disgruntled with $100, you're going to be disgruntled with $1,000. It's we have this mentality that once I get over there, once everything is perfect, as women we do that, but it's not over there. It's right here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Being like God with contentment is great gain. I'm almost through. Hands. A hand This is from where she says, let the fruit of her hands. Hands means a hand, the open one, indicating power, means, and direction. God has given you hands that have power, that have means, and direction. What way are they going to go? What are they producing? Have you yielded them as instruments of righteousness? If you have, you'll be rewarded. That is so good to me. Power, production, power, means, and direction. Your hands have that in them, but you get to choose righteousness, unrighteousness. Righteousness, unrighteousness. Let's be women who excel them all in a culture that says, don't submit, have it your way, it's all about you. Men need to be less than women, or not even a man at all. Don't obey authority, don't work, don't respect, don't honor. Let's cancel what the cancel culture is trying to cancel. And rebuke it and say, no, devil, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I will die to myself, because in doing so, I find true and abundant life. In death, you find life. Whatever God is putting his hand on, whatever you feel your struggle with the Lord, let it die. Let it. You may be afraid to let it die because you're so used to being a certain way, responding a certain way, speaking a certain way, thinking a certain way, acting a certain way. Let it die, because in death, you cannot bear fruit unless you die. The seed must go in the ground first and die, and then it will produce life. And say this, I'm not going to be your typical woman. I'm going to be a virtuous woman who is seeking God more than anything, because he's called and chosen and destined me, you, to be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And it says, among whom you shine as lights. And so I encourage you tonight to, I hope some of these things are things that you can grab a hold of and go, you know what? I can grow in that. I can grow in that area, whether it's in your submission to your husband, to authority, whether it's in how you're speaking. Are you speaking in an honoring fashion? Whatever it may be, I hope that there's something that you're going, you know what? I can grow in that. I know for me, this has been a fire. It has lit me up, which anytime I talk about honor, it lights me up because I'm so passionate about it. But I hope that this has been, I hope you don't feel condemned. I don't want you to be condemned. I want you to be empowered to take this and go, you know what? I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna do that. I'm not, you know, the areas where you need to grow in them. Don't worry about the fact that you haven't yet. Don't worry about the fact that it convicted you. That's a good thing that you go, okay, I'm gonna take this to the Lord. I'm gonna take this to the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, I hope that helps you, empowers you, encourages you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for who you are. And God, I pray that the word that has gone forth, God, it would bear fruit. I pray over every single woman, God, that there would be a shifting that takes place in whatever area that they need it, God, that they truly would experience growth. God, if it's something in their thinking, something in their being, something in their acting, Lord, or just the world trying to just tackle them and take over the way that they think or the way that they do things, or put fear or worry on them or cause confusion. God, you are not the author of confusion. And so I pray peace right now over your women. I pray joy. God, I pray that this would be a joyful week. I pray that it would be a happy week. God, I pray that it would be a content week. Lord, I pray that you would do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ask or think, according to the power that's in work inside of them. And so I bless your women tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.